I took great joy in that, by the way. Last week, I told you a story about a guy named Pastor Praveen. Pastor Praveen is a Christian pastor in India where the vast majority of the population is Hindu. And so last week, I didn't have a picture, but this I want to share with you a picture of Pastor Praveen. That's him in the very middle. And he doesn't look like a criminal, does he? But he is a wanted man. He has a price on his head. And if you missed last week I shared the story of why. He, in a very small, poor village called Andhra Pradesh in India, they were struggling. There was a drought and there was a famine. And so the villagers in Andhra Pradesh were really struggling. And they attributed their struggle to the fact that they had angered one of the Hindu gods. And so they convinced themselves that the way to appease this god and to bring prosperity back to their land was to offer a human sacrifice. In many places in India, human sacrifice is still common. And so the elders of Andhra Pradesh got together and they chose a young boy from the village, a gregarious boy. Everybody knew him. They knew him because he climbed on everything. They called him Monkey Boy because he climbed trees, his houses and walls. And I actually have a picture of that young man. And so the elders decided to offer him as a human sacrifice, but they didn't kill him immediately. Instead, they tied him to a roof and waited for him to succumb to the elements. Thankfully, though, his mother was able to connect with someone that she'd heard of by the name of Pastor Praveen. And so Pastor Praveen came under the cover of darkness and rescued this boy and saved his life. Of course, that put him at odds with the elders of Andhra Pradesh, and now he's considered a criminal. He's got a hit out on him. And if he's discovered by the wrong people, he will immediately be killed. So I shared that with you last week, but here's what I've learned about Pastor Praveen since last week. This little boy from Andhra Pradesh is not the only child, not the only children that Pastor Praveen has rescued. See, in India, there are more people enslaved than in any other place in all the world. 18 million people live in slavery in India, and many of them are children. These are children who have been abandoned. These are children who've been orphaned. Some have been kidnapped and put into slavery. And because they have no status, and because they have no advocate working on their behalf, they have no way of getting out of this predicament that they find themselves in. And so their work as slaves in mines and rock quarries. And Pastor Praveen goes, he makes it his business. I don't know how he does this without getting caught, without getting killed, but he makes it his business to go to the owners of those mines and those rock quarries and advocate on behalf of those children. And when he goes to these owners, these rich, powerful men, he forms relationships with them, he shares the gospel with them, and he calls them to repent. He calls upon them to let these children go, to repent of their sin and turn their lives over to Christ. And as you can imagine, a lot of them don't listen. And they refuse to listen because they make too much money off of this endeavor, off of the mines and the rock quarries. And they're too powerful to listen to him. But that doesn't stop him. It doesn't deter him at all. Pastor Praveen is relentless and persistent. He's not afraid, and he won't give up advocating and going to these owners and begging them to repent and to turn to Christ. He's relentless. He keeps speaking truth and calling them out. A few years ago, he'd really been working one owner of a rock quarry. And this man was very rich. He was very powerful. He could have had Praveen killed at any moment, but he didn't. He listened. Now, he didn't release the children. He didn't repent of his sin, but he at least respected Praveen enough to listen to him. In fact, for years, Pastor Praveen would go back and continue to work on this particular owner until finally, On his deathbed, he called for Pastor Praveen to come pray with him. And Praveen once again showed up, and on his deathbed, this man surrendered his life to Christ and turned over his rock quarry and all of the people who were enslaved in it to Pastor Praveen. Praveen's persistence paid off. Praveen is relentless. Even though his life's in danger on a daily basis, he is persistent. He's relentless. And that's why I think we ought to stop calling Praveen pastor. And instead, I think maybe we ought to call him Prophet Praveen. Doesn't have a good ring to it, Prophet Praveen. Doesn't that have a good ring to it, Prophet Praveen? I thought so too. I really did. Prophet Praveen. In the Old Testament tradition, prophets are the mouthpiece of God. They're the spokespersons of God. Prophets have been given a message by God, and it is their duty to deliver it no matter what consequences they might face, no matter what the cost. Even under the threat of death, prophets are called by God to deliver a message. And that's why I think we should call him Prophet Praveen, because pastor just seems so, pastoral. Pastor, pastors love people and care for their needs, but Prophets live dangerously. And Praveen is a prophet. When God calls prophets, he calls them to courageously stand up. To stand up in the face of injustice, to stand up to the powers that be, to stand up and speak the word of God, no matter how difficult that word might be and no matter what consequences they might suffer. And our scripture passage this morning tells the story, the call story of a famous prophet. His name is Ezekiel. And we're going to read his call in chapter 2 of the book of Ezekiel. I'll begin reading at verse 1. God said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I'm sending you to them. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. They shall know that there has been a prophet among them. And you, O mortal, do not be afraid of them. And do not be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns surround you and you live among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, and do not be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. But you, mortal, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. I looked, and a hand was stretched out to me, and a written scroll was in it. He spread it before me. It had writing on the front and on the back, and written on it were words of lamentation and mourning and woe. He said to me, O mortal, eat what is offered to you. Eat this scroll and go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. He said to me, mortal, eat this scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it. And in my mouth, it was as sweet as honey. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, you look rebellious. Thank you. Somebody got a little too rebellious. You look rebellious. Now, for some of you, that's more true than others, but I think it's true for all of us. You look rebellious. Ezekiel's call story has to be the craziest of all the prophets. If you read chapter 1, which immediately precedes the passage we just read, you'll read this outlandish story about how Ezekiel's just minding his own business. He's a part of the exiled people and exiled Israelite people. And while he's minding his own business, God comes upon him and gives him this vision. And it's not just your normal run-of-the-mill vision. This vision is a storm that rolls in, and there's lightning and there's flashing, and it's wild. And out of that storm come four creatures. Each one of them has four sets of wings, and each one of them also has four faces. Each has the face of a human, the face of an ox, the face of a lion, and the face of an eagle. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that would get my attention. And when God had sufficiently grabbed Ezekiel's attention, he speaks to him and he says, "Mortal, stand up. Stand up on your feet, because I need to speak to you." And in fact, it wasn't just that Ezekiel didn't just respond. The Spirit of the Lord stood Ezekiel up. And God says to Ezekiel, "I'm sending you to my people, Israel. They're a nation of rebels. They're all just a bunch of rebels. They've rebelled against me. Their ancestors rebelled against me. They're just a bunch of sinners. They sin. They're obstinate and stubborn. They are a rebellious house." No, really, they're a rebellious house. Did I mention that they're rebellious? Did you notice how many times when we read that passage of Scripture, the word rebel or rebellious showed up? Either those two words or some derivative of those words shows up 9 times in this very short passage where God calls Israel rebellious, stubborn, impudent. God doesn't want there to be any mistaking that the situation with Israel is dire. Israel has gravely disappointed him. They've turned away from him. They have sinfully gone about their own way instead of the way God had intended for them. That's Israel. Rebellious Israel. But maybe it's also us. Maybe we look rebellious too. I mean, we have this whole season of Lent to kind of give us some time to set aside and to reflect on just how rebellious we are. We're told in the beginning of this whole season that we're dust and to dust we will return. That's the result of our sinfulness. We're reminded during this season of just how broken, just how sinful we are. We're rebellious. You look rebellious. I look rebellious. We're all rebellious, just like Israel. Israel's sinfulness and rebelliousness caused God to send Ezekiel. And God sends Ezekiel. He makes him eat the scroll. He gives him his words to digest so that Ezekiel will be prepared to share his word with the people. And God calls Ezekiel to go to the people, to warn them, to call them home, to call them and woo them back into relationship with him. God sends Ezekiel to preach repentance to the Israelite people. But he warns Ezekiel, hey, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy because, you know, they might listen, they might not. And they very likely will turn on you. It's going to be difficult to deliver this message to my people because they're a rebellious house. And that's why God tells Ezekiel, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. You might have to get tough. And they might seek to do you harm. But at least they will know that a prophet has come among them. At least they'll know that I have sent word to them and I desire relationship with them. So you just, Ezekiel, you just digest my word and then you go preach it to my people, come what may. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of any of them. You just go deliver my word. That's what prophets do. Prophets deliver the word of God, no matter what the consequences. They digest the word of God and then deliver it to God's people, come what may. Whether God's rebellious people listen or whether they refuse to listen, prophets declare the word of God. Which is why, going back to Praveen, it's why I think we should call him Prophet Praveen instead of pastor. Because every day he takes his life into his own hands and he goes up to these rich and powerful mine owners and rock quarry owners and he proclaims the word of God. He risks his life to call these rich, powerful people to repentance. And of course he does that because he wants to rescue these children from slavery. But I don't think that's the only reason he does it. I also think that Prophet Praveen wants to rescue those quarry owners too. I think he knows that God wants to rescue those quarry owners just like God wants to rescue any other rebellious people, sinful. That's the reason God calls the prophet Ezekiel. That's the reason God calls all prophets. Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Malachi, and later on John the Baptist. God called all of them to go and proclaim His word and to call His rebellious people to repentance. Because God will never give up on rebellious people. God will never give up. God's like a pit bull who just will not let go. God so desperately desires a relationship with us, His rebellious people, that God will stop at nothing. We're rebellious, but God is relentless. We're rebellious, but God is relentless. If you don't remember anything else from this passage from Ezekiel or from this message, I hope you'll remember that we are rebellious, but God is relentless. I want you to say that with me. We are rebellious, but God is relentless. In just a few moments, we're going to gather here at the communion table. And as a part of our preparation to come to the table, we pray the Great Thanksgiving. And the Great Thanksgiving, in that, we will recount what we call salvation history. We will recount the ways in which God has been at work from way back, centuries ago, all the way up to the present, the ways that God has been at work trying to draw us back, us rebellious people, back into relationship, that God is trying to call us back to repentance and into relationship. Over and over, God has proved that throughout history, that His pursuit is persistent, that His grace is never ending, and that His love is relentless. We are rebellious, but God's relentless. So yeah, you look rebellious, but thanks be to God that God will never give up on rebellious people. Amen.